When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Week 11 is underway. Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined as I am every Friday morning by Andrew Erickson and Derek Brown. D-Bro, now is the time. Take your victory lap on Christian Watson.
I mean, I've stretched. I'm prepared. It's all good things, fellas. I mean, we're talking about this pre-show. What's the weekly line now for receiving touchdowns for Christian Watson? 2.5? We're going to set that?
That's the average. I mean, he's got 5 touchdowns in 5 days.
So beautiful when good players get a chance to finally be healthy and play on the field. You love to see it, guys. You really do.
It's always fun in our game. Erickson, how are you feeling after last night's Thursday Night Football? Titans beating the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, everyone on primetime got to see how the Packers actually play every single week. They're slow. They're gross. I know that Christian Watson has looked good, but Aaron Rodgers is still overrated. So, yeah. Love to see it.
Oof. Overrated or just oof, like washed up? It's not like he was bad before.
Oof. Man.
I mean, you take Devontae Adams away and you see what happens. So,
okay. Bold take. Hopefully we have a few more bold takes in this show. Let's make sure everyone can find the three of us online. D-Bro's Twitter handle is at D-Bro_FFB. Erickson is at Andrew_Erickson_. And I can be found at Ryan Wormley. And of course, we can be found everywhere online at Fantasy Pros. I also want to take a quick moment to tell everyone about the Betting Pros podcast. If you're into sports betting, then I urge you to check out our Betting Pros podcast every week. Matthew Friedman, Thor Nystrom, Pat Fitzmaurice, Scott Bogman, Joe Pisapia, and plenty of others bring you the analysis on players, teams, coaching habits, and trends that you need to make the most informed bets. With great insight, a touch of humor, and strong, diverse guests, we guide you through each week in the NFL and college football and shed light on what the best bets are and how you can take advantage of the market's movement. You can check out our Betting Pros podcast at bettingpros.com/podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Matchup previews.
Guys, the bye week teams this week, Jaguars, Dolphins, Seahawks, and Buccaneers. Let's jump into the early afternoon slate. We'll get into our first game, which is also our first pick in the Over-Under Challenge. The Over-Under game is sponsored by No House Advantage, who are giving away $10,000 in weekly and season-long prizes, including a grand prize of $3,000. Check them out today at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app on the app stores. Use promo code PROS at sign up for a first deposit match up to $50. Our first over-under challenge of the day is Justin Fields over or under 21 fantasy points against the Falcons. So be on the lookout for that as the guys share their picks for Fields and also some of their other favorite over-unders from this week's challenge throughout the show. Listeners can find these challenges at fantasypros.com/challenge. But for now, we'll turn to Erickson for his key matchup in Bears-Falcons.
Yes, my key matchup, I'm looking at the Falcons running backs against this Bears atrocious run defense. Look, Atlanta has the number one matchup per PFF's offensive defensive line matchup chart this week. The Bears rank fifth in rushing yards allowed per game this season. They've only traded away stud players across their defensive line and at their linebacker position throughout the season. So I'm expecting a big ground effort from the Atlanta Falcons here, especially due to their running backs and the fact that they like to run the ball. They are a run first team. Cordell Patterson, I expect to lead this backfield. I know last week he only had 6 touches while playing 38% of the snaps, but we see this all the time with guys playing on Thursday. What do you know? Aaron Jones, coming off a career or a season high in touches in week 10, plays on Thursday night. He sees his carries cut in half. Like, this just happens when guys are going around the quick turnaround. He's now had 10 days off. He's now another week removed from the injured reserve, which he was just activated in week 9. So I think Cordell Patterson is going to be back over the double-digit touch mark, back over 50% snaps played. It's not to say that guys like Tyler Allgeier, Caleb Huntley won't necessarily be involved to some extent, but this team has enough rushing volume around for a lot of these guys to be productive. So I think Cordell Patterson is still top 24 running back. I think Allgeier in deeper formats is still worth flex consideration just because of how good the matchup is against the Bears, who rank second in terms of touchdown percentage allowed on the ground this season. Like, the Falcons don't want to throw, and this is a perfect matchup for them not to have to do it. So I think the Falcons score a lot of points in this particular matchup. I think specifically just like talking about the game flow, Marcus Mariota and the Falcons offense, they run a lot of play action, and the Bears are one of the worst defenses against play action. Just looking the last couple weeks, Tua destroyed them using play action. Dak Prescott destroyed them using play action against the Bears. So I think that Atlanta's going to be able to move the ball up and down the field, and that's also why I'm taking the over on Justin Fields' fantasy prop, because they're going to have to score points. And the Falcons defense just bleeds points to every single position, including quarterback. So I'm going to take the over because I think this game is a high-scoring environment and a shootout.
Quickly on the Falcons offense, do you expect to see Mariota get as much use in the run game now that Cordarrelle Patterson is ostensibly healthy?
I think so. I mean, they just kind of use him naturally as part of the rushing game. I mean, his rushing totals this year have been pretty good. I know it's not to the level of a Justin Fields just because Mariota is just not as good of a runner. I mean, Justin Fields, you can make the argument that he is the best pure rusher at the quarterback position in the NFL right now. So Mariota, a poor man's Justin Fields as a rusher, I would say.
Justin Fields is a poor man's Lamar Jackson as a rusher, but that's beside the point.
Of course you would.
I will take the over on his 21 fantasy points also because, I mean, he's been the best fantasy quarterback over the last month. I don't know how you could possibly take the under on any number for him right now. Debro, what do you think?
I mean, 3 for 3, fellas. We're going to sweep the over for Justin Fields for the no-house advantage.
We swept Nick Chubb last week and just barely hit it. We all laughed at that line as being too low, and he got over by a half a point. So maybe Fields won't crush this one, but I think he will.
With Nick Chubb, too, because he was bottled up for most of that game and then had that amazing touchdown run. We're like, that's why you always bet the over on Nick Chubb, because he just does stuff like that.
There it is. All right, Deaver, what's your key matchup?
All I'm going to say is a hit is a hit, guys. I'm going to bag it. So with this game, I think both of these teams keep the ball on the ground. And yes, they're going to run with Justin Fields, but also now no Khalil Herbert. I think it's going to be a lot of David Montgomery in this game. He's on this backfield over the last few weeks anyway. Now I think we could see his snaps tick up to 80%, 90%. If you look at the Falcons, just like the Bears, they struggle to stop the run. They are allowing the 4th highest rushing success rate, 9th most fantasy points per game to running backs, and they are bottom 5 in basically every metric allowed to running backs. So, as gross as it sounds, I think it's going to be a lot of David Montgomery paired with Justin Fields this week.
How high would you go in ranking Montgomery? Because it does sound gross.
I've got him top 15, I'm pretty sure. I've got to pull up my ranks here.
He's 14th overall in ECR.
I've got David Montgomery. Oh, apparently I'm a little bit behind ECR because my Isaiah Pacheco love is crushing David Montgomery this week. So I got him at 16, but I think you could really make a case for him anywhere between RB12 to 15, 16, somewhere around there.
Let's move to game 2, Panthers at Ravens, and you're sticking on the ground with this one, D-Bro.
Yeah, look, I don't think the Panthers have a whole lot of a shot in this game. I know you're going to love that take, Ryan. But I mean, that's not
exactly going out on a limb there.
I know, exactly. I mean, look, the betting lines say that, you know, the Ravens are going to crush them.
13-point
dogs. Yeah, yeah,
on the road.
I mean, you know that. But if the Panthers can keep this game close, I think it's going to be a lot of Deontay Foreman. And really, that's their best weapon against the Ravens. And the Ravens have been really good against the run since week five. Second lowest rushing yards per game. They are first in explosive run rate. But Deontay Foreman has been running well. And Baker Mayfield is not going to be the reason that this game stays close. That actually could be the reason the Panthers fall behind by multiple scores. If they put the ball in Baker Mayfield's hands and saying, hey, you try to win this game. No. It's going to be a lot of giving the ball to Deontay Foreman. He's averaging 20 touches per game since week seven. He's been quietly a massive, massive fantasy asset. RB 17, RB 5, RB 40, RB 9 finishes since week seven. So really the Panthers' only shot to kind of keep this close is give the ball to Deontay.
Yeah, he's 22nd rest of season in our rankings right now. That feels a little low just because the usage has been so ridiculous. I know Chuba Hubbard has missed a couple of those games, which might skew those numbers. And yeah, on the Ravens defense, I mean, this is going to be the first game where they've had Roquan Smith for a significant amount of time. Obviously, they did play him in that Saints game, as you know, D-Bro, but now they've had the bye. They've really gotten to get him more ingrained in this defense. I think there's a chance that this defense comes out and looks like drastically different and like one of the elites in the league. There's also a chance it doesn't play out that way, but I'll be really curious to see what they look like. Of course, you probably can't take too much away from a matchup against Baker Mayfield and the Panthers. Erickson, what's your key matchup here?
Also knows I spent a lot of my waiver buyer budget in the Yahoo fantasy on the Ravens defense because I am riding them all the way to the championship. So yeah, of Ravens course. DST, great start this week. So I'm looking at the Ravens running backs against this Carolina defense that ranks bottom five in rushing yards allowed per game to running backs. Not even necessarily because they're just bad against the run. It's because they're just always losing in games. So teams just naturally get to run the football against them. They rank 31st in rushes faced inside the 5 yard line. So whether it is Gus Edwards that ends up playing and takes the lion's share of work, whether it is Kenyon Drake that ends up being the lead back for the Ravens, both guys are going to have opportunities to get the ball and run efficiently. Both of them are going to have opportunities for touchdowns, whether that comes. I mean, let's look at the Ravens implied team total. It's massive. So they're going to score touchdowns eventually. And if they don't have any receivers, then it naturally has to be Lamar Jackson scoring the touchdowns or the Ravens running back. So I think Kenyon Drake is a top 30 running back. I think that Gus Edwards, if he ends up playing, I think that he's an interesting flex guy. I feel more confident in Drake just because I know that he is the healthier of the two backs, but would not surprise me at all if Gus Bus goes out there, gets the goal line carries, and scores 2 touchdowns. So I think that both of them are good plays this week just because they're going to score points. The Panthers defense can't stop the run, and the Ravens just, I'm worried about their pass catchers and how healthy they really are besides, because Andrews doesn't go. It's likely Duvernay, like DeMarcus Robinson, like these guys don't command targets. DeSean Jackson, like they don't command targets. And I don't think
even,
they're need
even
to
DeSean Jackson's a little banged up too. So I don't expect Mark Andrews to play. There's nothing official as of the time we're recording. I would guess that the Ravens look at this game and say it's an NFC team. We're at home. They stink out loud. Let's just give Gus Edwards and Mark Andrews another week off. That's just a guess though. Again, are you looking for one of the most exhilarating and effective forms of home fitness? Because a fitter, happier you is worth fighting for. Fight Camp brings the best workout in the world into your home and makes it fun. Explore thousands of workouts led by expert trainers that meet you on your time. Live punch stats motivate you to push harder and help you map out your progress. Knock out achievements or go head-to-head against other rivals from across the country or across the living room. Learn the basics and sharpen your skills over time through tailored paths. Fight Camp workouts are totally safe. Even if you're new, you'll be led by trainers with over 90 years of combined training experience. They'll break down every punch and ensure you use proper form so you can learn to box safely. With new workouts added every week, you'll always find something new. Use filters to explore different workout styles, lengths, trainers, difficulty levels, and more. You will never get bored, and neither will your kids. One of the fun parts of Fight Camp is you can get the entire family involved. It's one of the only home workouts that is safe for kids to join because there are no heavy weights or spinning wheels. It's an amazing way for them to get their energy out, learn something new, and share an experience with the whole family. So join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home with Fight Camp. You can get started with Fight Camp for as low as $9 a month by going to fightcamp.com/pros. Again, that's fightcamp.com/pros to learn more. Let's move to Browns at Bills. And guys, originally, this one was the Snowmageddon game of the year, 6 feet of snow in Buffalo. No longer the case because this game has been moved to Detroit. We will now get Josh Allen in a dome, Nick Chubb in a dome. It should be a fun one. Pretty high scoring, I would imagine, given the change of venue. Erickson, what's the key matchup here?
Yeah, no, I was very happy that this game got moved to a dome because I just was not ready to be bombarded with, but it's snowing out. Like, what do I do with this guy? And I'm like, guys, I don't know. Like, what do you want me to say? But it's just much easier now to break it down. You start all the Bills pass catchers, Josh Allen, fire him up, no questions asked. But I do want to look at the Bills running game here against this Browns run defense that has just been absolutely horrible this year. They rank 31st in run defense EPA, over 30 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. Devin Singletary, we finally saw hit the end zone twice last week, 13 carries for 47 yards on two rushing touchdowns. Look, he's still the RB1 in this backfield. Like, I know they traded for Nyheim Hines. I know they drafted James Cook. I know they wanted to get Christian McCaffrey, but every single week, Devin Singletary, 70% of the snaps, 65% of the opportunities every single week. So until Singletary just does something so egregious to get himself removed from playing time, and he fumbled last week, and it still didn't affect how much they used him, he's still something you're going to fire up as an RB2, especially when the matchup calls for it, like here against the Cleveland Browns. So I think that Singletary is still a really strong play this week. Does he score twice again? Possibly not. But if the willingness to use him more in the red zone, I thought was interesting just based on the injury that Josh Allen had been dealing with. Maybe that's something that we see more going forward because the Bills are aware that Josh Allen has this injury. But obviously it could change potentially if they think that, oh, Josh Allen's feeling better. Like, we can risk, you know, using him more in the red zone. But it is encouraging that Devin Singletary is getting more red zone opportunities. And it's really hard to beat this matchup.
I know we usually do this at the end of the show, but today's mailbag question is about this game and specifically about the Bills. So I wanted to get to it now. I'll just quickly remind everyone that if they want even more access to our analysts, be sure to join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to our analysts through AMAs, stages, and more. Now, this question is out of date because it was, should we start Stephon Diggs in 6 feet of snow in Buffalo? Again, obviously, game is no longer taking place there, but I wanted to still ask it because I want to get your guys to weigh in on how philosophically you treat weather and specifically extreme weather when evaluating players. So in extreme snow or in a lot of heavy wind or rain or whatever it is, Debra, I'll start with you. How do you sort of evaluate players when there are extreme weather conditions?
I mean, honestly, I fade the weather a lot. People freak out about the weather. They're like, oh my God, it's 18 miles an hour of wind. Everybody freaks out about it. And I'm like, look, you're going to start these guys. You're not benching Stephon Diggs so you could play, Donovan Peoples-Jones or somebody like that. Like, even going to a different game. Like, I'm not benching all my studs on a weekly basis. I mean, there are certain extreme conditions where maybe you temper expectations, but you're still going to play these guys in a lot of different instances, whether it's 20 miles an hour and what have you with the wind and stuff. It's a tsunami outside. It's not like these guys play. And the thing that I think is so funny about the wind, it's like they're not playing flag football out in an open field. You have an inside of a stadium that's blocking a lot of the winds. Yes, it does factor in. But I fade the weather a whole lot more than a lot of other people do. Now, snow, I actually wanted the snow game. I was praying for the snow game just because I wanted to see people try to tackle Nick Chubb in like 3 feet of snow. That would have been fantastic television for me. So I'm a little bit sad that that's not happening. But Erickson, what do you think about the weather?
I think for me, what I do is I really just follow the betting lines. That's kind of how I leave my process. If the lines are going down, the total's getting bet and just continuing to decrease and decrease and decrease, then, you know, legitimate people are putting money on this game to go under. And that matters to me. Whereas if the game total, oh, there's rain, there's wind, and the game total hasn't moved, then it's like, okay, it's not a big deal. So I try to pay attention to win the most. You know, if it is over 20 mile per hour, then I think that's something to kind of consider. But rain most of the time doesn't really matter. Actually, rain is more significant than snow. Like, if you ask a lot of quarterbacks, I know Tom Brady always said this, that he much rather preferred playing in snow than in rain. So, and there are many examples of snow games that there was a lot of offensive scoring. Like, it does depend if it's like flurries, and just because there is snow on the ground. Now, obviously, 6 feet of snow is a very different conversation than, you know, a couple inches. But A couple inches of snow does not matter, in my opinion. We've seen a lot of big games from running backs, from wide receivers. I mean, Tom Brady threw 5 touchdowns in 1 quarter in the snow against the Tennessee Titans. Like, it can be done. And defensive also, and the defensive players also have to adjust to the elements too. Like, they're falling down, they're trying to tackle guys.
That's exactly what I was going to say. They also can't grip the ground as well in the snow. So yeah, it's just as likely to affect one or the other. Also, like, snow games, I'm with you, D-Bro. I mean, part of me is like, okay, like, 6 feet, that's kind of crazy, and it probably would have affected fantasy to a degree. But also, like, that's just so aesthetically pleasing, watching a game in the snow. They're so fun to watch as a viewer. So it would have been kind of interesting and fun, I think. But I guess better to err on the side of safety for the fans and everything like that. I shouldn't poo-poo that. Now, D-Bro, we haven't gotten to your key matchup in this one yet.
I was cackling before I get to all my Nick Chubb love of the week. I was cackling on social media when somebody posted 6 feet of snow, and then they posted the height of Nick Chubb, 5'11", and then Devin Singletary. They're like, can't tackle the guys if you can't find him in the snow. So, but look, getting back to the key matchup for this game, I talked about it last week. This Bills run defense is vastly overrated. And I saw your tweets out there, everybody, about Dalvin Cook and all my love. And then he busts an 81 yarder for a touchdown. And you're like, oh, never mind. Going to delete it. Nick Chubb is going to have himself a day. Tremaine Edmonds has already been ruled out. So is Greg Russo. And it doesn't matter. Nick Chubb is going to run all over them. Since week 4, Buffalo Bills run defense 21st in rushing yards per game, 24th in EPA per rush, and oh my lord, 28th in explosive run rate allowed. Give me all the Nick Chubb sauce this week. It's going to be beautiful.
D-Bro, you guys have had 6 key matchups that you've picked so far. All 6 of them have been the ground game. As we move to Commanders at Texans for game 4, are we finally getting some passing game talk?
We are, and I think everybody's going to expect that I'm going to talk about how bad the Texans' run defense is, and oh, I like Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson. I'm actually going to go the other direction with this, because as bad as the Texans' run defense is, their secondary is just as bad, people. I think Taylor Heinicke can have a really good game here. You look at the Texans' pass defense. They have faced the 3rd fewest passing attempts per game. That's why people don't know how bad they stink, but they're bad, people. 9th highest success rate per dropback allowed, 10th in EPA per dropback, and the 4th highest yards per attempt since week 5. So if it's not going to be Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson getting a ton of work on the ground, Taylor Heinicke can rush. He could get 1 to 2 rushing touchdowns in this game. That's possible, too. And if they decide to just air the ball out with Terry McLaurin again, they don't have a secondary. They don't have a guy in that secondary that can cover McLaurin.
Yeah, everybody's high on McLaurin this week among the Fantasy Pros experts. You're the highest. You have him 8th currently.
Yep.
In our rankings, everybody else is in the 10 or 11 range. So definitely, you know, opportunity for a blow-up spot here from him. I just love how much Heinicke is actually peppering him with targets. It's been so nice to see after the start of the season he had. It's such a nice turnaround. Erickson, what are you looking at?
Looking at the Texans' number one wide receiver, Nico Collins. Against the Washington Commanders secondary, because he has fully supplanted Brandon Cooks, as I talked about in the Start Stitch show. Nico Collins is the guy in the Texans passing game. He leads the team in receiving yards since week 2, despite missing 2 games. Last 3 games played in full, 22% target share, 41% air yard share, 65 receiving yards per game. Last week, 5 catches for 49 yards and 1 touchdown on a team high, 10 targets, 30% target rate. He led the team in routes run and in snaps played. Washington, you can't run on them. Like, they're going to try to give the ball to Damian Pierce, and they will give him 20 times, but it's just going to be tough sledding. Like, they're not going to be able to move the ball very efficiently with Damian Pierce, and if they're going to keep pace, they're going to have to throw the ball eventually, because Washington's secondary is definitely the weaker part of their defense. They've allowed the 4th highest passing touchdown rate, and if you look at Davis Mills, in the last 2 games where Nico Collins has been healthy, 300-plus passing yards. So I think they're going to have to throw the ball, and everything is pointing to Nico Collins being that guy and continuing to produce in this offense. And that's why I'm taking the over on Nico Collins' 7.5 fantasy points. That is egregiously low for a number one wide receiver.
Book it. Love it.
All right. Erickson, I'll stick with you as we move to the next game. Eagles at Colts. What's the key matchup?
I'm looking at these Colts wide receivers against this strong Eagles secondary, which has been a little bit banged up. The Eagles overall have been a little bit banged up on the defensive side. So they've lost Avante Maddox, who is their slot cornerback. And in 3 games played without him this year, their defense has allowed 24 fantasy points per game to slot wide receivers. So This is the green light to start Paris Campbell. 26% target share, 24 receptions in his last three games played with Matt Ryan under center. Now, everyone's kind of forgetting about Paris Campbell because he had the two-game lull with Sam Ellinger at quarterback. So it's like, oh, Michael Pittman, like, he's interesting. But it's like, no, like, this guy is a top 36 receiver, wide receiver three this week because the weakness of the Eagles is the middle of the field and from the slot. Michael Pittman is going to have to grab coverage from James Bradbury and Darius Slay. Like, that's not good for him. And I know McLaurin was making plays on those guys last week. It's going to be tougher for Michael Pittman, in my opinion. I just think that Terry McLaurin is playing on another level right now. And Michael Pittman's not exactly there yet. So even though Pittman got 9 targets last week as well, I'm more concerned about him and would feel really, honestly, much better about playing Paris Campbell because I think that his matchup in the slot is just much better.
How do you feel about Michael Pittman just rest of season at the moment? Obviously, it's a tough matchup this week, but there's so much hype at the beginning of the year, and it looked in a couple games early like he was going to live up to that hype. Then he's also had a bit of a lull, again, also dealing with the quarterback change. What do you make of him for the end of the year?
I think he's kind of like in now, like he was wide receiver three without Matt Ryan. Now he's kind of in the back end wide receiver two conversation. I feel like he's kind of bunched together with Jacoby Myers and Deontay Johnson, where you feel pretty good about like his floor every week. But, you know, how high is the ceiling weekly? I don't really know. Especially with Pittman, we kind of assume that he would just immediately step in and get all the targets because there was no one to compete with. Where we've seen guys like Paris Campbell stay healthy this year. You know, Alec Pierce has flashed. Like, they still don't use any tight ends. And ultimately, the Colts want to run the football. So that inherently also hurts Pittman, even though they are throwing the ball and running at a higher pace with Matt Ryan, a quarterback.
Debro, what's your key matchup here?
Yeah, I'm going to stay with the passing game, and I think it's going to be Devontae Smith versus the Colts zone coverage. Devontae Smith has been the best weapon versus zone for the Eagles. The Colts have deployed zone on 64-68% of their snaps with their corners. You look at Devontae Smith, he's one of the best wide receivers against zone in the NFL. 64% of his targets have come against zone. He is 13th in PFF receiving grade against zone and 14th in yards per route run. So while, you know, Devontae Smith has not had a big game in a few weeks, I think he's due for one this week.
Before we move on with the show, I'd like to take a moment to talk about Owner's Box. Introducing Lightning Lineups, the most electric way to play fantasy sports. Tired of spending countless hours trying to compile the perfect DFS lineup just to scrape by with nearly nothing to show for it? Do you love the payout of a parlay but keep losing on that last leg? It's time to make the move to Lightning Lineups on Owner's Box. Lightning Lineups presents you with three teams of three players. Find the trio you think will score the most fantasy points or spin the wheel to generate a new matchup. If you love your lineup, you can add more opponents to increase your payout. Owner's Box also has Superflex DFS, which allows you to take advantage of the Superflex roster spot to build creative lineups while staying under the salary cap. All new users who sign up today will get a free $10 entry. Head to ownersbox.com and use promo code FANTASYPROS to get started today. Let's move to Jets at Patriots. Erickson, what's your key matchup here?
Looking at the Patriots offense, a.k.a. Ramondre Stevenson, against the Jets run defense. Look, because you can't throw on the Jets. Like, it is the no-fly zone, and especially for Mac Jones and the Patriots' lackluster, you know, receiving core, I just don't envision Mac Jones really having a productive game through the air. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But Ramondre Stevenson, because he's low-key the wide receiver one for the Patriots since Mac Jones took back the starting duties in Week 7. He owns a 22% target share. He is a running back, people, and he's a 22% target share since Week 7. Last time he faced the Jets, 71 rushing yards on 16 carries. He caught 7 passes for 72 yards. So I think it's going to be more of the same with Ramondre. I know that Damian Harris is expected back. We'll probably again generate some type of workload. You know, J.J. Taylor in the last game the Patriots played had around 10 touches. But still, as long as they just don't overthink things and give Damian Harris random carries at the goal line like they did with J.J. Taylor, which I was just like pulling my hair out because it's like, what are you doing? Like, just give it to Ramondre. Then, of course, J.J. Taylor gets stuffed at the goal line. Oh, couldn't see that happening. I think Ramondre is a very strong start. He's back in the top 10, I believe, in the ECR, at least top 12. So I know we had a couple questions about like, oh, do I start or sit Ramondre? It's like, guys, like, he is the number one in this backfield. Like, Damian Harris is a number two back. I do not see this being an Elijah Mitchell situation where we see Damian Harris come out and have like 19 carries. I don't see that happening. Ramondre's the guy. He's the best player they have on offense, and I expect him to eat in the matchup against the Jets run defense. So that's my call.
Ramondre is 12th in ECR for this week. He's 13th rest of season. He's actually dropped 2 spots in the last week in our rest of season rankings. Is he just dropping because of Damian Harris?
I think people would probably be concerned about Damian Harris. I know the Patriots' schedule gets a little bit tougher as well. They still haven't played. Well, actually, you know, playing the Buffalo Bills might be actually be a good thing. Based on their run defense of the last couple of weeks. Yeah, I think people are just concerned about, oh, well, Damian Harris is healthy now. What are we going to see? And when we see Ramondre just still operate as the number one running back, I think people will feel confident about, like, oh, yeah, Ramondre, he is a RB1 rest of season.
Debra, what are you looking at in this one?
So I'm going to share Erickson's love before I get to my guy with Ramondre. I'm taking the over for the no house advantage. The line here is egregious, guys. 13.5 points. Come on. I'm taking the over for Mondre. It's all Mondre all the time, baby. I'm going to go to the other side of the ball here with Garrett Wilson versus New England's corners. And their secondary has been extremely good. I'm not shading their secondary. But if the Jets hope to stay in this game, it's going to have to be with Garrett Wilson. He put up 6 grabs and 115 yards against these corners last time they met. And he's that guy. When Zach Wilson decides he's going to throw the ball and doesn't airmail it past him, over him, to the sidelines, Garrett Wilson has produced. He's got a 22% target share. He is 14th in PFF receiving grade. Just please, Zach Wilson, please, for everything holy and sacred in this world, please get him targets and actual, like, catchable targets, and the man will produce.
Debro, since we're on the Jets, I want to quickly ask you about the running game. Coming off the bye, do we expect to see James Robinson maybe get a lot more of a workload, after that trade, now that they've had the bye to sort of, you know, get him more involved in the offense?
I still think it's going to be a lot of Michael Carter. I look at him as the leader in this backfield, and it comes down to the fact that he is going to own the passing downs. As well as, I was not high on the James Robinson trade, and it's because of, at this juncture of his career, his effectiveness is waning. He's not the same back coming off the Achilles that he was. He's just not a guy that you can build a run game and lean on like they were doing with Breece Hall. So no, I still think it's Michael Carter season.
Rams at Saints. Debro, sticking with you for your key matchup.
Chris Olave, baby. I mean, he's had a few down games. I think this is a bounce back spot for him. And I know, yes, Jalen Ramsey and things of that nature, but still, the Rams are allowing the 9th most fantasy points to wide receivers this season. We know Olave is the spear for their passing attack. He is going to lead them in targets. We understand that. He has been gobbling up targets and air yards all season long, and 72% of his routes. Jalen Ramsey has not been good this year. 69% catch rate, 101 passer rating. On the other side, David Long is not much better. 63% catch rate, 104 passer rating. So while people might look at this matchup on paper and say, the Rams, Ramsey, start Olave. He's going to be like top 15 wide receiver this week. And really, if the Saints have any chance in this game, which I think they probably should win this considering how bad the Rams have been and will be going forward, it's going to be with a lot of Olave, if I can get that out.
Do you think it's interesting, Debra? Olave has not been a top 12 fantasy producer at the position in any week except for week 3 this season. He's had a couple in the teens, 13th, 17th, 16th, but only one week in the top 12, yet he is wide receiver 12 rest of season in our rankings.
I think a lot of that comes down to targets and target volume. And I mean, I've got him wide receiver 9 for this week. And a lot of that, yes, it's buys and people could say that, but it's like, once you get past about wide receiver 7, you're like, whoa, all these wide receiver 2s are getting pushed up because there's nobody, like, there's no Tyreek Hill, there's no Seattle guys. Like, it's high, but I'm not surprised to see Olave there because, I mean, he's going to sniff 9 to 10, 12 targets every single week.
Eric, so what's your key matchup here?
I'm trying to make sense of the Rams in the post-Cooper Kupp life for their offense. Because I get a lot of questions about I get a lot of questions about, like, what people are doing with the Rams. And it's like, okay, this is how I see it. So Tyler Higbee, I think, would be the projected target leader for them. Except he is the worst matchup on planet Earth against the Saints, who are one of the rare teams that actually, like, schemes away tight ends. And so it's not a fluke that they've allowed the fewest fantasy points to the position, lowest catch rate allowed, number one in DVOA versus tight ends. So Higbee is just an absolute, like, floor play, like 4 for 40, like 8 targets. Like, that's what I'm expecting from him. Like, this is not a, oh, Higbee's going to blow up. It's like, he's a floor play. That's why I have him. I think he's tight end 10 in ECR. Expect that'll definitely rise in future weeks. So don't write off Higbee as, oh, he's not going to be see a lot of volume or be productive without Cooper Kupp. He will be, just not in this matchup. It's just not great for him. As for the receivers, Allen Robinson is tied for second in the NFL in targets inside the 10-yard line. He has 11. He has caught 3 of them. woof. But over the last 3 weeks, 19% target share. He's averaged four catches for 41 yards. That's kind of what I'm expecting from him again, more or less. So maybe bump it up to five catches for 50 yards. So Allen Robinson, wide receiver three with not a lot of upside, I guess, is probably the way I view it. As for Ben Skowronek, he played all the snaps last week. He actually played ahead of Allen Robinson and Van Jefferson. I think that he would probably take over the majority of the slot snaps. Saints are third best for a slot wide receiver since week six, so not going in that direction. And then comes the Van Jefferson. He's actually seen his snaps decrease in three consecutive weeks, and they're going to have to play him a little bit more, I would assume. He is the leader in air yards over the last 2 weeks. He saw a 55% air yard share in week nine with Matthew Stafford, so he is the guy that is trying to generate big plays. The issue with that is the Rams have a horrible offensive line, so they can't really like let things develop downfield. But if you're making the case for Van Jefferson and chasing a potential long play, the Saints can't generate pressure. So if there was ever a week where in a, you know, in this type of environment where they can actually get time to throw the ball downfield, it would be to Van Jefferson. But it is a fringy Hail Mary type of play, in my opinion. So it's really Allen Robinson for me as a receiver three that you would even consider starting. The other two guys really want to shy away from.
Yeah, that was a whole lot of words to just say, unless you're in a really deep league, you don't want to start anybody in this offense.
People are picking them up because they're like, oh, man, yeah. Oh, targets. Like, I'm just trying to be real with people, you know?
Yeah. Lions at Giants is our next game. Erickson, what's the key matchup?
So I'm looking at some of these Detroit receivers, these Giants receivers against the Detroit secondary now. My key matchup is Wandale Robinson. I know he popped up on the injury report this week with a hamstring injury, so obviously if he doesn't go, it changes things a little bit. But Detroit is very bad against slot receivers, allowing the sixth most fantasy points per game to the slot. However, if Wandale cannot go in this particular matchup, Darius Slayton. Like, low-key, been very productive over his since week five. So the last four games he's played, 22% target share, almost 300 receiving yards, 17 catches, and 41% air yard share. The Lions rank second worst in yards per attempt and yards per completion allowed this season. So they give up a lot of big plays. And Darius Slayton, basically ever since he entered the league from Auburn, like, that's all he's been really doing, just making these big splash plays down the field. We all like Daniel Jones as a streamable quarterback this week. He's my QB8, I believe. I think ECR, he's definitely in the top eight. So looking at this Lions defense, they've given up the most rushing yards allowed to quarterbacks this year. So I think Daniel Jones will be productive. And I think that will naturally bring along some of his receivers. So I like Darius Slayton and I like Wandale Robinson if he goes from the slot.
Deaver, what are you looking at here?
This game is going to be a tough one for Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I bring him up because the Detroit Lions' entire offense has really faltered with the trade of T.J. Hockenson. DeAndre Swift has been limited. It's been really just all Amon-Ra. And in his six healthy games, he's been a target vacuum. We understand that. 32% target share. But the Giants' secondary is allowing the seventh fewest fantasy points per game to wide receivers. He's been playing more on the perimeters. It's going to be a lot of Adoree Jackson and a lot of Fabian Moreau. I know that they're going to pepper him, but the reason I bring up Amon-Ra, and I think it's a key matchup, is I want people to kind of temper their expectations with him. He's not getting a lot of red zone usage. I think he's going to get the target, so it's still, the PPR love is real. I've got it ranked high because, again, a lot of bye weeks and stuff like that. But Amon-Ra, I think he's in for a tough matchup here.
Let's move to the late afternoon slate, Raiders at Broncos. That is another ugly one. Erickson, what's the key matchup?
It's the movable Raiders defense against the stoppable Broncos passing game with Russell Wilson at quarterback. I just love describing it because that's really the case here. You just have an offense that can't get out of its own way against a defense that can't stop anything. So look, the only good game Russell Wilson has had this year came against the Las Vegas Raiders, and that's not a fluke because of how bad this defense is. His only top five performance this year came against the Raiders back in week four. He threw three touchdowns. It's the only game this year that he's thrown more than one touchdown. It's the only game that Cortland Sutton has caught a touchdown in. So this is a week that you do want to play your Broncos pass catchers, and Russell Wilson potentially is a top 15 quarterback for me. Like, I think that he's not someone that if you have him on your roster, you probably have not been trying to play him, but I still prefer him over some of the like Taylor Heineke type of players. I think that he has a little bit more upside just because the path for them to get there is still through the passing game. Like, the Raiders are just so bad against the pass. The Denver Broncos are still banged up on their offensive line. They can't run the football, especially with the running mix that they currently have on the roster. So I think that Russell Wilson is someone that you can kind of you know, trust tentatively just because of the matchup and how bad it is. Like, the reason the Broncos have struggled so much is because the red zone offense is horrible. Dead last in red zone efficiency. What do you know, the Raiders? Dead last in red zone defensive efficiency. So it really is the only spot where you can be hopeful. So if you have Courtland Sutton, you definitely are starting him this week, especially if Jerry Jeudy doesn't go. Last three games that Jeudy has not played in full. Sutton, 32% target share, 40% air yard share, averaging 7 catches for 95 receiving yards. You should also go back to Greg Dulcich. Like, I know that he bombed last week, but elite usage, 89% of the snaps played, 82% route participation. Raiders bottom 5 fantasy points allowed to tight end. So go back to Dulcich, Sutton, and if you have Wilson, I think that he can still be started.
Yeah, as you said, it's an offense that can't get out of its own way against a defense that can't get in the way. Sutton, you have 13th, which is the highest of any of the Fantasy Pros experts this week. Is that with the assumption that Jerry Jeudy won't play?
Yeah, for sure.
D-Bro, well, what are you looking at in this one?
Well, first of all, I'm going to join Erickson on some Russell Wilson love, and God, that makes me really want to vomit right now.
So but
I'm
taking the over.
Yeah, I'm taking the over for no house advantage challenge. It scares me. I don't really want to do it, but I'm going to do it. The captain of cringe is going to score points this week. And on the other side, everybody's going to look at the box scores and say, "Wow, Josh Jacobs week, baby," because he dominated this run defense last time that he had 175 total yards in week 4, 2 scores. He was the RB2 on the week. This is not the same Denver Broncos run defense. Josh Jacobs has been on a skid. It's not been good lately, even though he's been getting a lot of volume, and I think it's going to be another tough week for him. Since week 5, Denver is allowing the 12th fewest rushing yards per game, 8th lowest EPA per rush, and the 10th lowest explosive run rate. So while Jacobs is going to get the volume, again, I'm going to stay with the shade here. You need to temper your expectations for Josh Jacobs this week.
Do you think Jacobs can have a good game if he doesn't get in the end zone? Because he really hasn't this year. The best he's done in any game in which he hasn't scored is RB18 on the week. And there's a lot of RB25, RB35, RB42 when he doesn't get in the end zone. Do you think that's a must for him to produce?
I do. I think he's going to have to sit here and score. If not, I mean, you're looking at a lot of checkdowns, so maybe in PPR formats. But the Broncos have been pretty good against pass catching backs this year, too. So, yeah, I'm going to move Jacobs. I've got him this week. I've got him as an RB1. And a lot of that just comes down to, again, like bye weeks. But I'm probably going to move him down towards the back end of RB1, high-end RB2 territory, just because I think his chances for a touchdown are pretty low. And this Denver Broncos run defense is stout.
Cowboys at Vikings is our next game. Definitely the best game of the late afternoon slate. Probably the best game of the whole day. Erickson, what's the key matchup?
Looking at Dalvin Cook against the Dallas Cowboys run defense. Their run defense has been exposed this year. You know, 4th in rushing yards allowed overall, 7th in rushing yards allowed per game to running backs. But the thing that's really interesting about it is the rushing touchdown totals have not matched the yards that they've been giving up. So they've only faced on average 4 rushes per game inside the 5-yard line, which is why they've only allowed 5 rushing scores. If you look at every other team that's allowed as many rushing yards per game as they have, those teams are averaging allowing 14 rushing touchdowns on the year. So this is a classic case of, okay, if we're looking for a guy that could potentially score multiple touchdowns based on just touchdown regression, Dalvin Cook is that guy this week. Now, he's been a top 15 running back over the last 5 games. A lot of it's been kind of weird. Like, he's been getting really good usage. Like, they really haven't been using Alexander Mattison a lot just from a total touch perspective. I know he randomly gets in red zone touches, which is annoying because they both wear single digits and they both have dreadlocks. And you're like, wait, that's not Dalvin Cook. Like, what's going on? So if Alexander Mattison sneaks in for a touchdown this week, I wouldn't be totally surprised. But at the same time, I think this is a week where Dalvin Cook, I know he's in the ECR around like the back end RB territory. I think he should be a top 5 running back. I think that's where he should end up being. I mean, Dallas got destroyed by Green Bay in the run game just a week ago, and they have not been good against the run. So considering Cook has seen 83% or more of the backfield opportunities for the last 2 weeks, he's involved in the passing game. So if Dallas gets a lead, it doesn't matter. Like, Dalvin Cook is still the guy that's getting targeted in this offense, 18 touches per game over his last 2 weeks. I think this game is going to be a shootout. So I really like Dalvin Cook as a potential guy in like DFS. Like, he could be someone that really like breaks the slate.
He's 9th in ECR for the week. You have him 5th, Erickson. Yes. Debra has him 7th. Friedman also has him 7th. Fitz has him 11th, and Joey P has him 13th.
Joey P. This is bad. I got to talk to Joe about this today. We got the DFS show. I got to get it. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to have a talk about this. That's bad.
Nah. D-Bro, what's your matchup?
So I'm going to share Erickson's love of Dalvin Cook, but on the other side, it's Dalton Schultz, baby. He's been getting healthier, and it's showing in his play rate. He played the highest snaps since week four last week, 76%. His route rate jumped to 73% last week. And I know that people look at the box scores and they say, well, he's been getting a lot of targets. He had a 40% target per route run rate over the last two previous games, and he wasn't running a lot of routes. He was near like the 50% mark. So you're looking at Dalton Schultz. People need to bump him up in their rest of season rankings, and I think he's going to have a fantastic game. Since Prescott's return, 21% target share for Schultz, 7.5 targets per game, 2.5 yards per route run, and the Vikings have been giving it up to tight ends. 9th highest catch rate, 9th highest yards per reception, and the 10th most receiving touchdowns to tight ends. So Dalton Schultz going to have a monster game here.
And tight end is just such a wasteland. Like, it always is, but now guys are getting banged up. If you look at the top like 6 or 7 guys who have just in scoring this season, you have Travis Kelce, obviously. Mark Andrews is banged up. Taysom Hill's a part-time player. DJ Hockenson is good. Dallas Goedert's on IR. Zach Ertz is on IR. On average, David Njoku's up there. He's hurt. I mean, like, it is just ridiculous what is happening to the position this year. So any sort of upside, which Schultz certainly has, obviously a pretty good play, I would agree with you. Let's go to Bengals at Steelers. Last game on the late afternoon slate. D-Bro, what's your key matchup in this one?
I'm looking at the Steelers' run game, and a lot of this comes down to, yes, we're going to talk about Najee Harris. He's going to get carries, all that kind of good stuff. But I want to highlight Jaylen Warren in this game. You look at Warren over the last 2 weeks, he's been doing a ton with his touches, and I think he is a really strong flex play. So while, yes, you're going to be starting Najee Harris, it's not going to surprise anybody. Jaylen Warren needs to be in a lot of lineups. He, in the last 2 weeks, 10 touches per game, he has had almost 80 total yards in those two games. He is explosive. Anytime they give him the ball, you just look at the film. You look at the numbers. He is making big plays. He is 15th in yards after contact per attempt. He is 5th in PFF's elusive rating. And the Bengals on the ground have not been good. Since week 5, 27th in rushing yards per game, 29th in EPA per rush, and 31st in explosive run rate. So if you were looking for a flex play for this week that could really put up the points, you need to consider Jaylen Warren.
How wide is the gap between Warren and Najee Harris rest of season in your rankings?
I've got to go check them out. I mean, I'm going to be bumping up Jaylen Warren a good bit. Just off the top of my head, he's probably like an RB3, high-end RB4 type.
Harris is RB21 in the consensus rest of season rankings. And Warren, I'm trying to find.
I've got Najee at
Warren's 49. So there's a 28-point difference in the consensus rest of season rankings.
I've got Najee at RB25 and live right now. I'm going to move Warren up to RB 38. I think he could be anywhere between RB 34 to 38, somewhere in the RB 3 range.
That seems fair. Erickson, what's your matchup here?
I'm looking at Tyler Boyd in the slot. I think it's Tyler Boyd sizzling right there in this week against the Steelers. Look, the Steelers have just been atrocious against the slot this year, allowing the most fantasy points per game to slot wide receivers. Tyler Boyd back in this matchup in week 1, caught 4 of 7 targets for 33 yards and a score. Look at Boyd from the slot, 2nd in slot routes run, 3rd in slot receiving yards. And over the last 3 games, Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins have basically seen a very similar target share, 21 versus 20 targets. But Boyd actually leads the team with 16 catches for 237 receiving yards. So I don't expect Jamar Chase to play in this game, regardless of whatever they're saying optimistically about him. I think that he's still a couple weeks away. So Tyler Boyd is, I know that you never really drafted him or viewed him as like a starter. He was a bench guy. You want to start him this week.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think everybody was really excited about Boyd when Chase went down. It made a lot of sense. He would sort of slide right in. This is an offense that throws the ball a lot. They like to throw to just whoever the two best guys on the field are. But he's been wide receiver 25 and wide receiver 33 in the last 2 weeks. Obviously had the bye last week, but in those 2 games without Chase. So hasn't quite blown up in the way you might have expected with Chase out. but obviously a good matchup in this one. Let's move to Sunday Night Football, Chiefs at Chargers. Erickson, what's your key matchup?
Looking at Isaiah Pacheco, the world will all see Isaiah Pacheco run against the Los Angeles Chargers run defense, and people will be like, what happened to Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Like, where is he? Oh, yeah, no, he's, I mean, he might even be inactive. Who knows? But I think that we've seen Pacheco. He's now started three consecutive games for the Chiefs, cultivating to week 10, 59% opportunity share, 56% snap share, 16 carries for 82 yards. Edwards-Helaire had zero carries on a 6% snap share. So, Pacheco, yes, he's still just really working on early downs and not really using him in the passing game because that's Jerick McKinnon's job, but that's all he needs against the Chargers' horrible run defense. Like, this is the blueprint to beat the Chargers every single year. You just run the ball down their throats. They rank last in yards allowed before contact per attempt, last in yards per carry allowed to running backs at 5.7. And any game that Pacheco has played this year where he's had at least 8 rushing attempts, he's averaged 5.3 yards per carry. So he's one of these guys that if you give him enough touches, he just rips off a big run. Like, and that's why, not all of his box scores are great, because if he just doesn't get enough touches, you don't necessarily rip off that home run play. He can do that against the Chargers. So I love Pacheco. I know that Debro has Pacheco ranked really highly. I probably need to move him up in my rankings, quite frankly, because if I don't want to have him on my bench. Like, I'm trying to find ways to get him into my starting lineup this week.
Yeah, not to take another shot at Joe, but in the Fantasy Pros rank, so overall, he's 25th. Isaiah Pacheco is at running back. Erickson, wow. You actually also have him 25th, so you're right in line with consensus.
Yeah.
Debro has him all the way up at 15, which is the highest of any of our guys. The lowest is Joe at 36th amongst running backs, and that has been updated as of yesterday, so this isn't some out-of-date ranking. He is just not as confident as you guys. Debro, why are you drinking the Kool-Aid on him?
I mean, he's going to get close to 20 touches. The Chiefs are favored. They're almost double-digit favorites in this game. So a lot of Pacheco, and we know that you could run on the Chargers defense. I mean, come on, guys. Like, he has a chance to sit here and get 20 carries and go over 100 yards with multiple scores on the ground. So, yes, I want to be above consensus. I think he is a strong RB2 play. Talked about this on the Start Sit show. Like, I would be playing Pacheco, and if it's reflected in my ranks, I'll play Pacheco over David Montgomery. I'll play Pacheco over Devin Singletary. I'll play Pacheco over Damian Pierce. And people might, make crazy faces at me about that. But similar volume expectations. But one of these guys is on a much better offense and in a smash matchup. So, yes, Isaiah Pacheco, get the Kool-Aid and start guzzling it this week.
That's a fair rebuttal. Maybe not the visual I wanted. What's your key matchup here?
Hey, look, you opened the door there, Warmling, okay? So it's your own fault. This comes down to, I think, if the Chargers are going to have success on with the passing game, they need to target the slot. The perimeter corners for the Kansas City Chiefs have been pretty good. They're 16th in fantasy points per game allowed. But during this versus the slot wide receivers, been terrible. They're allowing the second most fantasy points per game. And this is going to lead me to, and we need to see if Keenan Allen is going to play this week. But so this is a mixed take here. It's Keenan Allen or it's DeAndre Carter. One of these guys is going to have a really good game depending on who is in the starting lineup. You look at DeAndre Carter against L'Jarius Sneed or Keenan Allen. I mean, L'Jarius Sneed, it's been bad. 74% catch rate, 115 pass rating. So if you're kind of on the fence, do I play Keenan Allen if he goes? One, if he's active, yes, you need to play him. Two, if he's out, Carter is a really, really strong flex play, especially in PPR formats.
Yeah, Erickson brought up a good point. How do you handle guys like Keenan Allen, who have been frustrating managers all season long when they're in that late game and you just don't know what the injury status is going to be? Who are some guys, Debro, that you might be playing in the early slate that you might not otherwise, just to be on the safe side with Allen's status?
I mean, I think if you have Allen, the easy answer is just pick up DeAndre Carter. And if Allen is out, play Carter.
Erickson, how are you approaching it?
Yeah, it's tough because, like, if you look at the Chargers injury report, it's like everybody is on it except Josh Palmer. So Carter is on it. He's banged up with an illness, I think. Keenan Allen's obviously coming back. Mike Williams is hurt. Gerald Everett is hurt. So. Jeez. And the way the Chargers do things with their injuries, like, sometimes guys come back and then they don't play fully. Like, Keenan Allen, remember, he played a game, like, a couple of weeks ago, but they didn't really play him that much, and then he got re-injured. So
he's still day-to-day, Erickson, hour-to-hour, day-to-day.
So
he hasn't played since week one, yeah. But,
So things are trending like they're going to play. I think really the only guy I feel confident coming back and putting in my lineup would probably be Mike Williams. I think that's probably the only guy. Like Keenan Allen, I think he needs to prove. I need to prove a game from him, honestly. So I'm afraid to start Keenan Allen, even if you know we do get word that he is going to play. So you definitely have to keep tabs on it by Sunday. But it's a Sunday night game. So if you have another good option, like I'm starting Pacheco over all these dudes, like. And you'll have that option, obviously, because they play in the same game. But a lot of these other options, I think that probably better to just go with a better option earlier on than wait. And then because there's no guarantee, even if these guys play, they're playing a full snap share. How good will they be? So just concerns.
Monday Night Football, 49ers at Cardinals in Mexico City. Debro, what's the key matchup?
Man, George Kittle is going to have himself a fiesta. It is going to be beautiful because the Arizona Cardinals can't stop any tight ends. Doesn't matter at all. 31st in DVOA, most receiving yards, most receiving touchdowns, and the highest catch rate to tight ends. So, George Kittle, have yourself a day, sir.
Erickson, what are you looking at?
Yeah, I love the George Kittle call. Look, we know every week one of these 49ers guys is going to smash. And you just got to kind of follow the matchups to be like, all right, this is probably the George Kittle week where the last couple weeks have been Ayuk. You know, maybe Debo gets more involved here as well because it's a defense that just bleeds yak. Like, that's all they do is they just give up yards after the catch. They don't give up anything downfield, which is why it's not really setting up as like a great spot for Brandon Ayuk, even though he's been the most productive receiver for the 49ers. It's more like, hey, dump it off to Debo, let him go run for 30 yards. And that's why I like Jimmy Garoppolo this week. So, yeah, I agree with the call on George Kittle. I'm looking at James Conner against this San Francisco 49ers run defense. It's a brutal matchup. Like, there's no doubt about it. I know Arizona's been banged up on their offensive line. They haven't been running the ball efficiently. James Conner is not an efficient running back anyway. So you're not playing James Conner because, oh, well, he's going to rip off a bunch of big runs. Like, no, like that's not going to happen. You're playing him because he played 96% of the snaps last week and he played elite 96 opportunity share. So he's getting all the touches. The team cut Eno Benjamin because he wasn't happy about his new role in the offense, which was doing nothing. So Keontae Ingram is the backup now. The issue is, 49ers defense, like I said, 3.3 yards per carry allowed to running backs is number one in the NFL. However, they rank top 7 in targets and receptions allowed to running backs. So I think Connor does offer you a safe floor just based on his volume, the fact that he is the goal line back. I don't think that Kyler Murray is necessarily going to play in this game. So it's just kind of more opportunities where he's going to see the ball and there won't necessarily be quarterback scrambles. You don't have to worry about Kyler Murray vulturing a touchdown. You know, if and when the Cardinals do get into the red zone, it will be James Conner. James Conner's averaged 3.5 catches and 4 targets per game in his last 6 healthy games. I think the one thing that maybe could concern you about James Conner and his workload would be, and this is maybe a little bit galaxy brain, but the fact that the game is in Mexico City, like people deal with altitude issues in Mexico City. So I think that with James Conner, they could be like, hey, we don't want to use you on every single snap because you're going to be like, dude, this guy needs oxygen. Like he can't breathe on the sideline. And especially with James Conner, you know, who's had a long injury history, obviously dealt with cancer and overcame it. But that's something to kind of keep in mind. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, after Monday night, we're like, oh, wow, like James Conner, like he didn't see nearly the same workload that we saw the week before. And I think playing in Mexico City would actually be the reason behind that. And one thing I do want to mention as well, and as I was kind of throwing in my matchups here, because I see we still have a little bit of time left, like Rondale Moore. I love Rondale Moore this week. I should have put him as my key matchup, but I like went in with James Conner first. But Rondale Moore, dude, this guy is going to continue to just feast. 28% target share over the last 3 weeks. He's averaging 8 catches, 85 receiving yards per game. And the 49ers are allowing twice as many fantasy points to slot wide receivers than the ones on the perimeter. And over the last 3 weeks, they've put safety Jimmy Ward in the slot. And then the second worst team against slot wide receivers, 26.7 fantasy points per game. And in coverage this season, Ward has been targeted 16 times. He's given up 16 catches for 144 yards, 2 touchdowns. Like, Rondale Moore, I can't move up high enough in my rankings. Like, you're not taking him out of the lineup, whether Marquise Brown plays or not. I don't care. They could be playing this on Saturn, and I would keep Rondale Moore in my lineup. So, yes, start Rondale Moore. DeAndre Hopkins also was a DNP on Thursday with a hamstring injury. So, yeah, Moore's going to just continue to eat.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say also a key matchup in this one is probably the kickers because they're in that thin air. And, you know, you see it every year in Denver when you're playing up in the thin air. You can get further kicks out. So if you need to stream a guy this week, I would look to both.
We're
of these
resorting
teams.
To kicker takes. Warren.
Well, Matt Prater is finally practicing. So yeah. We can finally get the
what are you going to say, D-Bro?
Where do you have Rondale ranked, Erickson? Because I'm with you, man. I think it's egregious to have Rondale Moore outside of wide receiver two territory. He's been so, so good. And Jimmy Ward is so, so no, bad.
It's like, he's like comically bad. Like, it's one of those things where you get giddy just like reading off the numbers of how bad he is. So, I mean, I have him. I think he's 18, I believe, you know, off the top. I know he's in my top 20.
I've got to move him up a little bit. I had him at wide receiver 22. I'm updating right now. Wide receiver 19 is where I've got him right now.
I mean, especially in full PPR, like, he's honestly like a wide receiver. I mean, he's like wide receiver one territory, like flirting with that.
He's been wide receiver 6, 16, and 16 over the last 3 weeks. So people need to put some respect on Ant-Man's name.
Let's wrap it up there, fellas. Thank you both for another awesome episode. Everybody listening, please remember to check out the Betting Pros podcast for all the betting insights and advice you need to win big. Also, don't forget the opportunities I mentioned with both Fight Camp and Owner's Box. Most of all, thank you, the fans, for listening. For Erickson and Debro, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.